Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yo, it is another edition of Phillies Today. I'm your host, James Seltzer. It is Tuesday, August the 21st, as we come into today after a much-needed off day for the Phillies yesterday, their first off day in 10 days after playing a lot of baseball in a short period of time, as they will get back at it tonight in Washington. Monster series coming up here. It's fun to be able to say that, as this team again and again is playing the most important series in a long time. And that is going to happen quite a bit over the stretch here, as 38 games left to play on the season. The Phillies enter today a game back at the Braves. The Braves able to hang on against Pittsburgh last night, a 1-0 win. Got a little dicey in the ninth, allowing a couple runners on, but able to close it out. Unfortunately for the Phillies, the race in the National League is super close, as the NL wild card race and divisional races. It looks like the Cubs are in the driver's seat in the Central, but other than that, literally every single other playoff spot is up for grab. We'll look at that a little bit later, but monster game tonight, as Vincent Velasquez making the biggest start of his career tonight. I think it is fair to say, as he has certainly never been on a team that has competed like this, obviously, and hasn't made as big a start this season as this one is. He's made some big starts, but this one, I think, is the biggest. With the way this team has played lately, coming off the losing 3 out of 5 to the Mets, especially the way they lost that last one in Williamsport, such a frustrating way to go down, as we talked about it. Jason Vargas, not the type of pitcher you want to lose to in a big spot. And I think Velasquez, a big spot here tonight against Tanner Roark, a nice pitcher for the Nats. So we'll dive into that a little bit as well, but I wanted to kind of take a look as we sit here with 38 games left to play in the season, which is crazy to think. The Phillies at 68-56, 38 left to go. And as I just said, the first time in a long time that we have 38 games left to go, and all of those games could potentially be meaningful, and certainly they are right now, as a couple of debates are kind of up in the air. And then also, I want to kind of look at a couple things that need to happen down the stretch here before we also take a look at, as I said before, a crazy National League race, the teams that are in contention, where that all stands. And then again, we'll look ahead to the Nationals series beginning tonight in Washington. But I want to start with the two debates that are kind of on the table right now, most prominently at least. The first one I addressed yesterday, but just to reiterate, as it seems to be a more and more of a talking point with each day that passes, even though the Phillies didn't play yesterday, but the Odubel Herrera versus Roman Quinn of it all. As I said yesterday, I'm firmly in the camp of Odubel should be starting more often than not. If you want to start Roman Quinn against a tough lefty, I understand that. But for a number of reasons, first and foremost, that when he is locked in, Odubel Herrera, significantly better player than Roman Quinn right now. I don't think there's any question about that. And granted, I know you can argue, flip that around and say, well, he's not locked in and he hurts the team, and that's true, but it's not like Roman Quinn, on at least an everyday basis, if he were in there, a 293 OBP is, you know, he provides a spark, but I don't know if he gives you that on an everyday basis. And again, furthermore, I think that Roman Quinn is a bigger asset coming off the bench. I think he gives you more as a pinch hitter, being able to bat from both sides of the plate there. As a pinch runner, obviously the best you could possibly ask for. And a defensive replacement. So I think that Quinn makes more sense coming off the bench. But look, I understand. If Odubel has another 2 weeks of crap performances and makes mental mistakes, Kapler's going to have to do something. But at least in the Williamsport, the last game of the series, I know he had a bit of the mental error but defensively, but had some good at-bats there, and Kapler supposedly talked to him. I'm willing to give him a little more time, but I understand the consternation. On the other debate that has kind of been raging a little bit lately, this one I'm actually kind of more on the other side of, the one where the outrage is coming from, is I'm with the people who say that Justin Bour should be playing more first base. As Bour, so far, just in the time we've seen him, obviously, and really all season long in either spot, Miami or here, has been a better hitter than Carlos Santana. And he might not be as good a defender, might not have quite as much range, but it's not like Santana's, you know, a gold glove defender. He's not Rico Bronya out there or anything like that. So for me, I think certainly against right-handed pitching, I don't see why Justin Bour is not your starting first baseman. I understand that you paid Carlos Santana a lot of money as an organization. You know, sorry. That was the breaks. Play the guy who deserves to play. That's kind of been my rallying cry with all of this is, you know, all season long, I originally was more an Aaron Altair guy than a Nick Williams guy. That changed. I'm a meritocracy guy. Whoever's playing the best should play. So I think Justin Bour needs to play more than Carlos Santana. And if that doesn't start happening, if the evidence continues to show that as well, I think that could be a real gripe that we could have here. But I feel less so on the Odubel versus Quinn one, as I don't think Quinn is a better player than Herrera, and even though Herrera is slumping. But I understand it because Odubel's slumps and mistakes are so glaring and so frustrating that I get it. I'm not demeaning that. It's just where I'm coming from. But the Bour side of things I'm on. And those are kind of two things that we'll see playing out over the course of the stretch run here. Also, kind of in that vein, thinking about 38 games left and where this team stands, I had a couple of thoughts on things that kind of need to happen here over the next 38 games for this team to make a run at the playoffs, to be in the playoffs. And obviously, with seven of the last 11 games against the Atlanta Braves, I think a lot of it's going to come down to that. But there is a lot of competition. And when you look at this team, obviously, generic things, we need the bullpen to pitch well. I think that's pretty obvious. I think we can all agree we need the starting pitching to continue to pitch well. I know that it's been kind of a thing all season where people are saying, oh, but the only thing they're doing well is starting pitching. Well, yeah, and it's working. So right now, keep pitching well, because they need that, and they can't expect to be carried in another spot. But you're going to need, especially tonight, we said at Velasquez, we need to see better outings from Pivetta in big spots, as we did not see his last outing, but looked good prior to that. But this starting staff has carried this team all year, and if they want to make the playoffs, the last 38 games can't be much different. They're going to need this starting staff, but I think that's clear. When you look at from an offensive perspective, a couple things I think stand out to you. First and foremost, Reese Hoskins might have to carry this team at times. He is clearly the best hitter in this lineup. Wilson Ramos, a strong contender for second, but Reese Hoskins, as we discussed yesterday, his numbers through his first 162 games are absurd. 43 homers, 100 and whatever, 15 RBI, a 917 OPS. That's really impressive stuff through your first 162 games. He's a legit major league hitter, a all-star level hitter, a star level hitter, whatever you want to say. So he's going to have to carry this team at times, because there's no one else in this lineup who is that guy. There are guys who can be it for periods of time, but over a full season, and again, you know, it's one season, but Reese is a legit hitter, and he needs to carry them at times. And with that in mind, speaking of the debate we just had, Odubel Herrera needs to heat up, because he is that type of guy, as we saw before. When him and Reese are firing, this offense is dangerous. And that was before Wilson Ramos came in and all those guys came in. So if Odubel Herrera can get locked in, and he has to, because look, I'm with you. If 2 weeks from now we're still seeing the same mistakes from Odubel, bench him. That's fine. I understand it. I have no argument. You got to win games. But I think right now there is at least still the chance that you can get him back to that point, and then he's such a better asset for you moving forward, as would Quinn be off the bench in an ideal world. So I think those are all important. And I think, you know, look, I think the new guys need to help. We've already seen what Wilson Ramos can do. That has to continue. Estrubel Cabrera has had some ups and downs. We need to see him bring it and show that veteran leadership as well. And then, like I said, I want to see more Justin Bour in the lineup. I think that he deserves it, and I think he's a better hitter right now than Santana. And as Gabe Kapler said, he is an emotional warrior. He gets out there and gets dirty and plays hard, so you got to like that as well. And then also, from a not on the field sample, more of an ineffable type of thing, but whatever culture or juju or whatever Gabe Kapler has created in that locker room and with this group of young guys is clearly working. So whatever that is, keep doing it, Gabe. And I know that people haven't always responded to it or whatever, but whatever's in that clubhouse is working. This has been obviously some veteran additions as of late, but this is an incredibly young baseball team that has found a way to consistently, in every situation, it's been the defining characteristic of this team all season long, has been that whenever they are down, whenever they face adversity, whenever they need to battle, they fight back, they don't give up. And that has to go back to their leaders, right? The leadership in place and Kapler, the top of that chain. Especially, again, with a group of young guys, as we just discussed, the reason we're discussing Rhys Hoskins' numbers in his first 162 games over his career is because he just played his 162 game in his career recently, within the last week. He's that young. And obviously, again, they brought in a few guys, but Nick Williams has never played in these types of games before. Odubel Herrera's never played in these types of games before. The entire pitching staff, except for Jake Arrieta, has never played in these types of games. At least the starting staff and a vast majority of the relievers, obviously. Kingery, when he gets in, has never been in these types of games. Franco has never been in these types of games. Alfaro, when he plays. This is a really young and inexperienced team that has had the fortitude and the toughness to not get beaten down by poor play, by tough circumstance, by terrible losses, defeating losses, bummer losses. They haven't let that get them down. They haven't let that knock them down. And I think that's admirable. And I think that whatever Kapler and this coaching staff have been doing to elicit this type of response from this group of guys has been working. So I think that needs to continue over these last 38 games. This team needs to continue to be resilient because they're not going to play better defense, or at least not much. They suck at it. It is embarrassing to watch them play defense, and I think that's something they need to address moving forward, obviously. But I also think as an organization, they made a philosophical decision to say, we don't care that much about defense. We care more about offense and pitching, and I get that's frustrating, but I think it's the fundamentals type stuff that needs to not happen as much. Regardless, I think that whatever is going on in terms of being able to fight through all that, I think Kapler's doing a good job with that. Coming up, the number one thing that I think needs to happen over this stretch run, over the last 38 games for this team, and then also we will look at the competition in the National League as it stacks up heading into this final run here. And then, of course, look ahead to tonight's monster start of the series against the Nationals. Monster series down in Washington. We'll get to all that and more coming up. It's Phillies Today. It's James Seltzer. We're coming right back. We are back. It is Phillies Today, James Seltzer, as we have been looking at the things that need to happen down the stretch here. 38 games left to play for this Phillies team as they contend for a playoff spot, a game back in the division, right in the thick of the wild card race with a number of other teams, as this National League is going to be an incredibly fun and exciting and heart palpitating and all that type of finish as the Phillies will be in the thick of it. We'll get to that coming up, but first, we've been discussing the things that need to happen, the things that on the field, what needs to happen from an offensive perspective, from a pitching perspective, the bullpen we mentioned, just as a whole, we need to see those guys pitch well in big games, and they've been doing a nicer job lately, obviously. All that type of stuff, and then from the other side of things, just whatever Kapler has been doing to keep doing it. But I think there's even an even bigger thing that needs to happen, and it's something that has nothing to do with the players and nothing to do with the coaching staff and nothing to do with the front office. It has to do with all of us. It has to do with all the Phillies fans out there, and not everyone is guilty of this. Not everyone is in the wrong here, but this team, and we've kind of had different versions of talking about this and saying this type of thing, but it's time. This team is 12 games above 500. They're a game out of the National League East. It's August 21st. There's 38 games of baseball left. This team is in it for real. they went out and made additions at the deadline to get guys like Wilson Ramos and Asdrubal Cabrera in here. Justin Bour. They made moves. They're trying to make it better. They're fighting. This team, as we discussed, is fun and resilient. And it just feels like there is a large portion of this fan base that just doesn't want to buy in or doesn't want to believe or doesn't want to get attached or whatever. And they're almost like looking to say, yeah, they're not that good. I knew it. Yeah, I knew they weren't going to be good. Yeah, see, it's finally happening. I don't get that. And we've talked a lot about Gabe Kapler on this show, and I understand that he's not everybody's kind of guy. Not everybody's cup of tea. We talked about this. Certainly not the quintessential Philly guy, but whatever. Are you a Phillies fan? Yes? Then embrace this team. Who cares who the manager is? Embrace the fact that even though they can be frustrating to watch, and I get that, the defensive errors, the miscues, the 24-4 game, which people losing their mind about, all that type of stuff, I get it. But at the same time, all the good stuff we've listed is even more important that they are 12 games above 500. They have two more wins than they did all of last season. We have 38 games left to go. Think about that for a second. Be behind this team. And look, I'm sure if you're listening to this show, there's a good chance you're in the camp of people who is invested and excited about this Phillies team. But if you know anyone who isn't, or if you are listening and you're not, it's time to just buy in. Support this team instead of looking for when it's going to go wrong, expecting it to go wrong. Instead of saying, I knew that weren't that good, believe that maybe they could be that good. And look, I'm not saying I think they're going to win a World Series this year. I don't. I'm not saying I think they're going to win a playoff series. If I had to bet my life, I wouldn't on that. But they have a real shot to make the playoffs. And then who knows? And even more importantly, whatever happens, it is such an amazing experience from a rep's perspective, from a young group of guys that is going to be here for a long time and is the beginning of something fun and special here that's ahead of schedule. And again, whether you like Gabe Kapler or not, whether you like Matt Klentak or not, whether you like analytics or not, you're a Phillies fan. And your team is fighting for a playoff spot. And there are guys who are really rootable on this team. As we've discussed, I mean, Rhys Hoskins is all you could ask for. Not just as a hitter, but as a dude, as a baseball guy, as a person. Much like some other teams in Philadelphia as of late, this is a likable group of guys. And I do think that speaking of teams in Philadelphia, as of late, things that might have won some big games in the last year, this does have a kind of underdog feel to it with this Phillies team. Rhys Hoskins obviously tweeted about it, but it also feels like there could be some us against the world potential. Some we all we got, we all we need potential. As this Phillies team is obviously been underrated from a national perspective, all you hear about is plus minus and how the Braves are better and, you know, all these other things. Oh, the Phillies are going to fade. I mean, it's out of control. It's all you ever hear. And then I understand why, because then I look in my own city and I hear that that's a lot of what people are saying here. There's a lot of people who are not just enjoying the ride and saying, let's go Phillies, but instead are saying, yeah, they're not that good. I don't believe in this. Why? Have fun with it. Because it's a fun team that is exceeding expectations and that plays a fun brand of baseball. Maybe not the brand, but at least plays fun baseball in the sense that they're clutch and they are never out of a game. So that's my plea. I think that's the number one thing that needs to happen over the stretch or any of the last 38 games. Just buy in and have fun with this team. Go down to the ballpark and see a game. Just lock in. Enjoy it. Because the Phillies are a relevant team again, and it's been a long time. Speaking of that, this NL race is absolutely insane. As we obviously have talked Braves all season, and the Nationals falling out of it, a game under 500 just starting to fall. That's why this series is so interesting starting tonight in Washington. The Phillies do have a chance to, even if they take two of three, especially if they take three of three, to put a nail in the coffin of the NL East champs from the last, what, 5 years in a row or 4 years in a row, whatever it is with the Nationals. So that's exciting stuff. But there is a incredible logjam at the top of this National League here is, again, the Cubs relatively firmly in place in the Central, but certainly not out of the woods or anything, but firmly in place. But then you've got the Phillies, the Brewers, the Braves, the Cardinals, the Dodgers, and the D-backs all right within a few games, and the Rockies, excuse me, all right within a few games of each other, as all these teams are just right there, right next to each other, just an exciting, that NL West, all three of those teams, the Dodgers, the D-backs, the Rockies, will be in it till the end. The Central has the Brewers, the Cardinals, and of course the Cubs, and then of course the Phillies and the Braves. There is far too many teams for far too few spots. As you look at how that all breaks down with the D-backs, the Dodgers, the Cardinals 3, Rockies 4, Brewers 5, Braves 6, and the Cubs 7, and then, of course, the Phillies 8. So you have 8 teams for 5 spots. It's going to be tough, man. It's going to be tough. And we also have the potential for tiebreakers out the wazoo as all these teams so close in record here. Again, all separated by a game plus right in there as it's going to be crazy. It's going to be exciting. And look, the Phillies are in the thick of it. And again, look, even I said this yesterday, I know it's hard to think about this in the moment, but whatever happens this season is a profound success. And look, you say that saying, sure, if they lose 30 of the last 38, probably not. You're a little disappointed, whatever. But they've already won 2 more games than they did last season, and I don't think that's going to happen. As I said before, I believe that in the adversity, in the ability to battle adversity, the ability to bounce back, I believe this team is that type of team, and I expect them to continue to be that type of team. And with that in mind, I expect them to be in it till the end, certainly till those last 11 games, 7-11 against the Braves. I think those games will matter. And as a result, I think this National League is going to be a blast, and it's going to be super fun to actually have the Phillies involved in it. It's been so long since the Phillies were a part of these fun races, and remembering what the idea or the thought of playoff baseball is like. And again, no matter how it plays out, as much as I want them to make the playoffs and see Aaron Nola take the hill in a game one of a playoff series, and then who the hell knows what could happen. I believe that any of these reps are huge for this young team. Even if they don't make the playoffs, the opportunity to play those games in September, games that matter, to get that feel of essentially playoff baseball, you know, playing for your life, playing for your season. And however that turns out, that's still a positive experience in my mind for this Phillies club. All right, huge series, as we've discussed, huge, huge, huge series beginning in Washington tonight, as the Phillies and Nats will square off for 3 games, and the Phillies will head to Toronto for 3 before coming home to face the Nats again for 3. So 6 out of the next 9 against the Nats, and 3, of course, in Washington. You feel much better about them at home, but you need the Phillies to take 2 or 3 here. They need to bounce back, but they could not have drawn a worse pitching matchup over these 3 games from the Nationals, as it'll be Vinny Velasquez again in his biggest start of his career in my mind, going up against Tanner Roark tonight. A relatively even matchup if we see the Vinny from prior to 2 starts ago. If we see the one from the last 2 starts, Roark a better pitcher right now. So could be an even one. Steven Strasburg pitches on Tuesday, on Wednesday, coming back from the DL. As that'll be interesting. Strasburg has been injured, and obviously if he's healthy and fully good to go, he can be a difference maker. But that'll be a big one, as Eflin will take the help for the Phillies. They need a good one from Eflin. And then the pièce de résistance, as they say, is Max Scherzer against Aaron Nola. Cy Young competitors battling in a monster day game on Thursday down in Washington. Can't wait for that. It's going to be a fun series as, of course, Bryce Harper, potential future Philly Bryce Harper down there, Daniel Murphy, Trey Turner. They got some talent, Anthony Rendon. It's going to be a fun series here as the Phillies need to go in and make it happen. Put a fork in this Washington Nationals season. Put a nail in their coffin, all that type of stuff, as the Phillies have a chance to do all that and more. We'll be back to react to Game 1 and hopefully Vinny Velasquez coming through under pressure and all that on Phillies Today tomorrow. But until then, keep it here. We got you covered all day long right here on the Phillies 24/7 Network.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.